Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya, thank you. So, we're going to be speaking about Chapter 11, Madhulila Chapter 11 today. It's called Beda Kirtan Pastimes. So it's a pretty long chapter. It's actually 128 pages. It's actually, if you stop and think about it, it's like a book in and of itself. And usually when somebody gives class, they're speaking about one text and one purport. But this is, I think, 240 texts, and I don't know how many purports. So I asked Archita, when I, was asked to give class on it, I texted him and I said, hey, this is pretty long. He said, okay, well, just either you can read it or you can just summarize the main points and do it like that. So we're going to do both today. We're going to try to attempt a presentation that does both so that the devotees will see the verses on the board, and I'm going to speak about the chapter at the same time. I'm not going to read any Sanskrit or Bengali because, it's too voluminous here. It's too big a chapter. And hopefully this way everybody will be able to appreciate the sweetness of what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami himself said and simultaneously tolerate what I'm saying, get a few further insights in from what I'm saying. So before I start even talking about the chapter, I just wanted to briefly kind of put out there or discuss why is it that in preparation for Rath Yatra that we're even reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That question occurred to me this morning when I was chanting and preparing the class. And the answer that came back to me is that, well, from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we learn from Lord Chaitanya how to perform the Rath Yatra ceremony. Lord Chaitanya is the ideal devotee. Of course, he's Krishna himself, but he's Krishna himself coming in the role of the ideal devotee to show us, to teach us how to be devotees. And in these chapters leading up to the Rath Yatra, we're learning from these descriptions of Lord Chaitanya's interaction with the devotees and the activities that everybody's performing. What is the Rath Yatra? How to perform the Rath Yatra? And of course, that's all part of a bigger picture, a bigger scheme, plan, how to be devotees of Krishna. Because ultimately, Rath Yatra, what is Rath Yatra? Well, Rath Yatra is like a homecoming ceremony. You know, everybody knows that we just, after Snan Yatra, Snan Yatra, the bathing ceremony, Lord Jagannath catches a cold. And then in Jagannath Puri, and I asked Archit about this, we're trying to understand it. The best of our understanding is that what happens is Lord Jagannath gets sick, and then they take him to Alalanath. Alalanath is a temple on the outskirts of Jagannath Puri. Can't remember how many miles away. And he recuperates there. And during that time, the devotees, can't see him. There's no darshan. He's in that temple recuperating. And then after 2 weeks, he regains his health, and then they bring him back. They bring him back to Jagannath Puri. So the Rath Yatra is that procession. It's it's not a funeral procession. It's not a somber procession like a death march to the sea. It's very joyous, jubilant, and it's characterized by ecstatic kirtans like that. So the devotees bring him back. And once again, this is all part of being a devotee of Krishna. And so from these pages of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we learn how to perform the Rath Yatra, the mood, the values, the sustaining principles. And deeper than that, we learn how to be devotees of Krishna. We learn, basically, plain and simple language, what was important to Lord Chaitanya. And some of the things, some of the lessons that we'll learn in this chapter is we'll learn initially, because the first, it'll start off, actually you can start going into it now as I'm speaking, you can kind of go through the relevant verses. This chapter begins, before it begins, it's Lord Chaitanya has just finished his South Indian tour. And after he took sannyas, he went to Jagannath Puri. Actually, reminds me of one good point I can make before. On his first visit to Puri, as everybody probably remembers, when he first entered the temple of Jagannath and he saw the Jagannath deities, what happened? He fainted. So this gives us an idea of how important the deities are. You know, it's not some sort of like a side show, so to speak. I mean, Lord Chaitanya came into the temple and he was so overwhelmed by ecstatic love, he fainted. And that's a whole pastime in and of itself, of course. But so he's returned. He was in Jagannath Puri, and then he went on a tour of South India. And when he returned from this tour, during that time when he was touring, of course, when he was in Jagannath Puri on that first visit, he converted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was the Shubha Pandit. You know, he was like the Mayavadi guru, basically, for all of India, you could say. And he converted him to a Vaishnav. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was like, as I said, the court pandit. So he was the guru, basically. He's referred to as the spiritual master of Maharaj Prataparudra. So while Lord Chaitanya was away on his South Indian tour, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was preaching to Maharaj Prataparudra the glories of Lord Chaitanya. And, you know, he was inspired. I mean, he was the spiritual master, he was the most intelligent person he knew. And so basically, he was already a devotee, but he became convinced through the association of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya of the importance of Lord Chaitanya, basically that he was Krishna. Okay? So now, because of that, he was wanting a darshan. He wanted an interview. He wanted to meet Lord Chaitanya. In other words, he was already a devotee of Krishna, and he's now his response to his spiritual master is, okay, you got me. I want to meet him. I mean, that's Krishna himself. I want to meet Lord Chaitanya. Please, can you arrange an interview? You know, so Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, okay, I'll try my best, but I can't guarantee anything, you know. And doesn't get into much detail. But so now it's our chapter begins with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya approaching Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya has returned from his tour of South India. He's now back in Jagannath Puri. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is approaching him to request that he grant an interview to Maharaj Prataparudra. And that's, you know, going to be text 3, I believe, it'll start with. Or text 4. Yeah, text 3 is that. So you can see that there. And so basically, you could slowly kind of scroll through these verses. I'm not going to read them, but I'll just talk about them, and devotees can see them. So basically, the conversation took this form that, you know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is requesting Lord Chaitanya, please grant this king an interview. You know, he really wants it badly. I know he's a king, but he's a devotee. And anyway, so Lord Chaitanya's response was, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, what are you requesting? I mean, please. You know, I'm a sannyasi, and you're asking me to do something which is totally against the principles of sannyas. I can't meet with a... meeting with a king is not much different from meeting with a, you know, materialistic woman. Lord Chaitanya quotes some verses here from the Bhagavatam about, for sannyasi, for one who's desiring to cross over the ocean of birth and death, it's actually worse. Seeing a woman engaged in sense gratification, or, you know, who's absorbed in that, or a man who has that similar consciousness, that's more dangerous and more detrimental than knowingly, willingly drinking poison. So he outright refused, basically. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was actually scared to even ask this, because he prefaced this whole conversation by saying, Lord Chaitanya, I want to propose something to you. Can I have your permission? And Lord Chaitanya said, yeah, sure, you can propose it. But if I like it, I'll accept it. If I don't like it, I'll reject it. And as he wasn't saying, I'll accept what you're going to ask for, but I'll hear it. And I won't hold it against you. So then that's when he made that proposal. And then when Lochitani heard the proposal, he flat out rejected it. He said, matter of fact, don't ever bring it up again. Don't ever bring the subject up again, because if you do, I'm out of here. He threatened to leave Jagannath Puri. So that was that. That's the first scene, so to speak. And so Bhavan Bhattacharya, after that, returned to his home, and he just meditated upon this. Okay. So now the next thing that happens, let's see, and we should be up to about... Now we should be up to text 14. I think what I've done is just talked about everything up to text 14. So now the next scene is that Maharaj Pratiparudra, he was, you know, because he's king, and the duty of the king is to tour. That's what the king does. He tours his kingdom to see. So he's returned now. He's returning back to Jagannath Puri, and he actually returns with Ramananda Roy. So the next scene is the king. So they both return together. And then the first thing is that's described is Ramananda Roy immediately goes and visits Lord Chaitanya. Now, previously, Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy had met on the banks of the Godavari River during his South Indian tour, Lord Chaitanya's South Indian tour. And, you know, they had a great meeting. They had Lord Chaitanya realize, because actually saw Bhavan Bhattacharya before he started out on that tour. He made only, I don't know if he made, that was the only request he made of him, but he made the request of Lord Chaitanya, please, when you take your tour, there's one person, I want you to meet him, make sure you meet him. His name is Ramananda Roy. See, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he became converted, when he became a devotee, he realized he had misunderstood Ramananda Roy. Because Ramananda Roy was a great, great devotee. But when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was, you know, steeped in nyaya, logic, and all this impersonalism, he couldn't appreciate Ramananda Roy. But now, upon becoming a devotee, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he now, in retrospect, was appreciating, oh, I made a mistake. That Ramananda Roy, he was actually a great devotee. Now I understand, you know. So he requested Lord Chaitanya to meet with him. So they did. And everybody knows that story, you know. They met on the banks there, and Lord Chaitanya, they were so happy to see each other. Actually, Ramananda Roy in Krishna Leela is Vishakha or Lalita? I can't remember which now. Vishakha, okay. So, you know, one of the two confidential associates of Srimati Radharani. So they embraced and were, experienced ecstatic love. And Lord Chaitanya actually had this conversation. I think it went on for 10 days. Lord Chaitanya was asking him questions, and Ramananda Roy was replying. And they were, you know, engaged in Krishna Katha throughout the day and night like that. So now he's returned to Jagannath Puri. He goes to see Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya, during that time, requested him, okay, you know what? When you get back, could you do this? I'm going to Jagannath Puri after I finish this tour, and I'm going to be residing there. That's my base, and I'm going to be staying there. And I want you to also be there with me. You know, so just please make whatever arrangements you have to make, and so that you could just be there, and we could be there together. And be have, you know, I'd like to have your constant association. So Ramananda Roy said, okay, you know, I'll try to do that. So he approached King Pratiparudra, and he, in pursuance of Lord Chaitanya's request, and you know, he explained the whole situation to him, and Maharaj Pratiparudra, his response was, and this is what Ramananda Roy is relating to Lord Chaitanya now in this particular part of the chapter, his response was, sure, no problem, no problem at all, because, you know, Maharaj Pratiparudra had already heard about the glories of Lord Chaitanya from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He's convinced he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and now Ramananda Roy, who was his, you know, also his minister and everything, he's requesting, can I retire? And Maharaj Pratiparudra just goes, sure, not only can you retire, but you can retire with a full salary, and that's irrevocable. You know, so he really made it easy for him, and more than easy, very, you know, really tried to encourage him. Yeah, you can retire, and you get a full salary, and there's nothing, you know, nothing that's going to change that. So when Ramananda Roy related that to Lord Chaitanya, it's described that his determination to not see Maharaj Pratiparudra became softened, you see? Because, you know, even within spiritual life, there's a hierarchy of principles. So Lord Chaitanya was pointing out to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that, you know, it's a very important thing for a sannyasi to be strict. You know, sannyasis have to be strict. Sannyasis can't meet with pound, shilling, and pence man, you know, worldly people. That will contaminate their consciousness. And, you know, that's out of the question. And it wasn't just like lip service. You know, he backed that up. I mean, there's that, of course, the famous pastime of Chota Haridas. Chota Haridas, you know, he went and he was banished from Lord Chaitanya's association because supposedly he had intimate association with a woman. And how that story goes is, you know, he was just going to get some rice. And he went to the home of Madhava Devi Dasi, who was the half, you know, Lord Chaitanya has 3.5 confidential associates. So she was considered the half because she was a woman. But apparently, I think, I can't remember clearly, but I've had devotees remind me that in a lecture Prabhupada said that there was a young lady there with her. So he supposedly glanced lustfully at the young lady who was there with Madhava Devi Dasi, and that was known to Lord Chaitanya because he's omniscient, and he banished him. He banished Chota Haridas from his association for that. Somebody could say small discrepancy. I mean, they didn't, you know, it was nothing more than just that. So anyway, so the point is that Lord Chaitanya was extremely strict about this, on this point. He wouldn't let a woman come close to him to pay, they had to pay obeisances from a certain distance away. I can't remember, it was 9 yards or 10, you know, whatever it was. They had to be a distance away even in order to pay obeisance. He was very, very strict on this point. You know, there's that other pastime where, anyway, there's so many different instances where that point is supported. But yet, when Lord Chaitanya heard this glorification of Ramananda, of Maharaj Pratapuja from Ramananda Roy, more than just glorification, he heard how he served and how, you know, his appreciation and love for him and for his devotee, that turned his mind. And Prabhupada, in one of these purports in this section here, he quotes that saying, "Love me, love my dog." Right, and that's, you know, and he said that on more than one occasion. So that's what took precedence here. In other words, when Lord Chaitanya heard that how this person loves my devotee, then he became softened. And he actually, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya later says that he's already changed his mind. And Lord Chaitanya even quoted some verses about one who says, I think it's from the Adi Purana, one who says he's my devotee is not my devotee, but one who's a devotee of my devotee, he's my devotee. So this is what really got Maharaj Pratapuruja the interview eventually, is that he showed love and rendered service to a confidential devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So that's that part. Now, while that's going on, okay, at the same time, or maybe, I don't know if it's at the same time, but the split of the scene, so to speak, is because they both came back at the same time. So Maharaj Pratapuruja came back and Ramananda Roy came back. Ramananda Roy went to see Lord Chaitanya, and that's what transpired. Also at that time, Ramananda Roy met some of Lord Chaitanya's associates who were there with him in Jagannath Puri. And so at the same time, Maharaj Pratapuruja called for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to find out, okay, what's the news? You know, what's the news? What did he say? You know, because he was supposed to try to get the interview, so what was the outcome? So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had to give him the bad news that, no, he said he wouldn't do it because he's, you know, it's just against the principles and like that. He said no. Maharaj Pratapuruja became very discouraged when he heard that because, you know, he was a devotee and here he's hearing from his spiritual master, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the glories of Lord Chaitanya. He's convinced that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has nothing, nothing's more important to him now in his life than getting the darshan and getting, you know, somehow or another being able to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Yeah, he's a king, but we have to remember he's an extremely elevated, sincere devotee. So he's feeling like that. And he's feeling like, you know, when he heard what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, he just went, oh, God. You know, Lord Chaitanya's incarnated or descended just to deliver all the fallen souls with the exception of one king named Maharaj Pratapuruja. Yeah, and he just felt very discouraged. You know, he's feeling very, in one sense, very disheartened and discouraged on one level. you know, by hearing this. And then he actually went as far as to say to Sovbom Bhattacharya, you know what, if I can't get, you know, the darshan or some association with Lord Chaitanya, I might as well give up my life. You know, what to speak of give up his kingdom and everything. And when I heard that, I thought, the way to, I think, understand that is just, well, I was going to give an analogy, but I think everybody can understand that point. He felt like that. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you know, he was impressed by that. He thought, whoa, this guy is serious. You know, so he tried to console him. He said, look, don't worry, actually. You're going to get an interview because, you know, and he was aware of when, you know, Ramananda Roy and had heard your glories. Lord Chaitanya heard your glories from Ramananda Roy and, you know, how you helped him and everything. And I have an inside information that even since that time when he told me he wouldn't give you the interview, I think he's, you know, Ramananda Roy softened him up, and I think it's going to happen. And then he told him, okay, and here's how you can do it. He gave him like the inside tip, so to speak. He said, there's going to be an opportunity when during the Ratha Yatra, at one point, Lord Chaitanya is going to be very tired, and he's going to go into this a garden, and he's going to want to rest a little bit. So at that time, you go into the garden in Vaishnav attire, and I want you to chant or, you know, read to him the five chapters of Krishna dancing with the gopis, and you know, he's going to really appreciate that, and he's going to embrace you and accept you as a Vaishnav. So that was the instruction of this suggestion that Ramananda Roy, that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gave Maharaj Pratapuja at that time. So let's see, what's the next thing that happens here? Okay, So the next thing that happens is this. So they have that meeting. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya with King Pratapuja. So then King Pratapuja asks, okay, well, just when is the Snan Yatra anyway? So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya tells him it's about 3 days from now. So then they departed. It describes how Lord Chaitanya was very happy seeing the Snan Yatra ceremony, the bathing ceremony, but he was very sad when Lord Jagannath got sick and left. And so he actually followed Lord Jagannath to Alalanath. How's this working, by the way? Because I'm just talking. Is it kind of going okay? Okay. Is everybody kind of able to follow the story as I'm talking, more or less, kind of? Let's do the best we can. But, so Lord Chaitanya went to Alalanath with Lord Jagannath, and he was planning on staying there. He was very sad because, you know, couldn't get the darshan and like that. And but Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, they wanted him back in Jagannath Puri. So it was, what's the word? It wasn't a trick, but it was true, but it was a tactic. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya used the tactic to get him back to Jagannath Puri, which was that send him a message that all the devotees from Bengal are arriving. You know, there was 200 plus devotees who were coming to see Lord Chaitanya, and they were just, you know, they're just on the precincts of Jagannath Puri. They were at Lake Narendra Sarovara, Lake Narendra. And so he has to come back, you know, because he's got to greet all his guests. So that got Lord Chaitanya to come back. So Lord Chaitanya came back to Jagannath Puri, and so it worked. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya went to Maharaj Pratapuruja to give him the news that, okay, it worked. He's coming back to Jagannath Puri. So at that time, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was talking with Maharaj Pratapuruja, Gopinath Acharya shows up. Gopinath Acharya was the nephew of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, correct? He was married to one of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's daughters, I believe. What? Son-in-law, right. Yeah, sorry. Right, thank you. He's married to one of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's daughters. So so he says to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, not hey, but he says, Prabhu, all these devotees are now at Lake Narendra. You know, they're here, they're arriving on the pilgrimage, and, you know, I need accommodations for them. We need everything. You know, we got to take care of them. So Maharaj Pratapuruja was standing right there, and he answered. He said, yeah, no problem. You know, I'll take care of the whole thing. I will arrange accommodation, prasadam, you know, you name it, we got it kind of thing for all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. And then he inquired from Maharaj Bhattabhuja, inquired from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, I really would like to know who these devotees are. Can you tell me who they are? You know? And he said, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, all right, well, let's do this. Let's go up on the roof of the palace. Because, you know, they were down on the ground there. So let's go up on the roof of the palace, and Gopinath Acharya will tell you who they are. Because to be honest with you, I don't know them. I would like to know them. I would like to know who they are, but I don't actually know these devotees. I haven't met these devotees yet. So, but he'll tell you. So they went up on the roof of the palace, and Gopinath Acharya was up there. And then the first thing that happened was, Lord Chaitanya sent, an advance party, so to speak. He sent Swarup Damodar and Govinda, his servants, and to greet the devotees. So, and he sent them with Mahaprasadam and flower garlands like that. So they were approaching. And so the first inquiry of Maharaj Pratapruja was, so who are these two, you know, personalities who are approaching these devotees? And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he answered that question because he was a resident of Jagannath Puri. So he knew the devotees who were associating with Lord Chaitanya that were there in Jagannath Puri, right? He didn't know the new devotees who were coming, but he knew the ones that were there. So he said, okay, well, that's Swarup Damodar. He's like the second expansion of Lord Chaitanya, you know, very elevated, great devotee. And that's Govinda. He is actually a godbrother of Lord Chaitanya. He was also a disciple of Ishvara Puri, but he was given the instruction on when Ishvara Puri was passing away, he was given the instruction that he should serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya always, this is an aside, Lord Chaitanya always felt uncomfortable with that, you know, being served like that by his godbrother. And he discussed it at one point with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and the conclusion was that, you know, it wasn't Vaishnava etiquette, but because it was the order of the spiritual master, it was the order of the spiritual master that he should do that, then Lord Chaitanya accepted that takes precedence over the Vaishnava etiquette. This was, you know, he got that instruction, so I have to, you know, surrender to that. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told King Pratapruja who they were. And he said, and who's that personality who they're garlanding? You know? And then Gopinath Acharya said, because Sarvabhauma didn't know him, that's Advaita Acharya. You know? Because they both, Swarup Damodar gave him a garland, and then Govinda gave him a garland. Then there's a little, then it goes, you know, from the roof it goes down to the ground here. And then, because the next, you know, Krishnas Kaviraj has Advaita Acharya asking, Advaita Acharya is asking Swarup Damodar. He gave him the garland first. And he says, who's that person? Who's this other person here who's paying obeisances? He didn't know Govinda. And then Swarup Damodar told him, oh, that's Govinda. He's, you know, godbrother of Ishvara Puri, disciple of Ishvara Puri. He was sent here to be Lord Chaitanya's servant. So then he goes back up to the roof. And then at that point, Gopinath Acharya kind of took over, and he started describing all the different devotees. And, you know, he said, this is, here's Purandara, here's Acharya Ratna, here's Vijaniti, here's Suklambara, here's this one, that one, this one, that one, you know? And at one point, and there's Haridas Thakur, and, you know, he mentioned so many different devotees, great devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Didn't just, you know, sort of describe their glories or anything like that, but just mentioned them by name. And at one point, he just sort of went, and, you know, there's so many. I mean, how many can I name? This, you know, there's just, it's actually, there's some, they're unlimited. Even those who are here, this is just like a representative sample. There's so many. And so there's one interesting purport in relation to that, where Prabhupada points out, and I've read this in classes before, but it's nice to mention that, I'm going to come up to it. Hang on. This is text 89. And this is like the last text where Gopinath Acharya is describing these, mentioning the names of the different devotees. You know, he says, here's Raghava Pandit, here's Acharyanandana, that one. Is that up there? Yeah, and then the purport, Prabhupada says beautiful things, and the conclusion is this. He says, we should respect those devotees preaching the glories of the Lord as Nitya Siddha, and should not consider them conditioned. So in those, that just gives us some idea of the elevated position of those devotees. You know, and then another purport, subsequent purport, Prabhupada says, the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were unlimited during the Lord's presence on this planet. But anyone who is pure in life, and this is really relevant, a good meditation, anyone who is pure in life and devoted to the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to be understood as a Nityasiddha associate of the Lord. So that's a nice thing to meditate on. And that meditation should take this form. We shouldn't be thinking, we should be meditating that, not that, well, I'm pure in life and devoted to the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so I guess I'm a Nityasiddha. No, that we shouldn't be doing it like that. It should be, well, you know, so-and-so is really pure in life and very devoted to the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Possibly that person's an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. So I should really be very, you know, very respectful and very careful and very everything in my dealings with that person because, you know, possibly a very elevated devotee. So that's, you know, and if we're meditating on this statement in that way, we can benefit from that. You know, it'll help us in the way we are able to interact with the devotees. And there's some basis for this. I mean, everybody knows that famous pastime where at one time Prabhupada was trying to help Jaipataka Maharaj get citizenship in India, and he was trying to get this man to sponsor him. And he said, this boy is an eternal associate. I can't remember the exact words, but he said, this boy is an associate of Lord Chaitanya. What? Yeah, Jaipataka Maharaj, about Jaipataka Maharaj. So, you know, I don't think, there's no mention that Prabhupada was saying it in a facetious or a joking way. And there's other statements to that effect. So anyway, it's good for us to think of the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement who we see are pure in life and devoted to the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that way. It's beneficial for us. So, now, getting back to our conversation, we're still up on the rooftop, you know. And so now, Maharaj Prithipuja has he's got a few questions. You know, he's impressed. But, you know, he's got some things that he's got to understand here. And the first one is he asks Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Maybe Gopinathacharya leaves at that point. He asks Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, why is it that Lord Chaitanya is basically, I mean, he's neglected by the great scholars and, you know, so many, he's not well known. I mean, he's, okay, you know, I've understood from you that he's Krishna himself, but it seems like he's not very much well known or appreciated. And Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya explained to him that the reason for that was that unless somebody receives the mercy of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, they can't understand him. You know, it's not like, it's confidential. They have to receive the mercy in order to be able to understand that Lord Chaitanya is actually Krishna himself. So that was one of his inquiries. Another one was, because he's humble, he's submissive, but at the same time he's you know, he wants to know. He's seeing these things and he's trying to, well, I've got to work all this out. So he also asks, hang on a second, why is it that these devotees, when they're coming and they're immediately meeting Lord Chaitanya, and, you know, they're going back to his place to see Lord Chaitanya. Normally, when people come on a pilgrimage, the first thing they do is they come and they shave their head and, you know, they bathe and then they fast for a day. But here I see the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. They're just coming. They're going right to where Lord Chaitanya is. Lord Chaitanya and his devotees making arrangements to get huge quantities of maha prasadam from the temple. And, you know, what's going on? So Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya explained to him, these are dealings on the platform of spontaneous love, you know, and it supersedes the general regulative principles which, you know, governing visiting a place of pilgrimage like this, a tirtha, like Jagannath Puri. And Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was, you know, he accepted that, he could understand that. Just to give an example, just imagine all the devotees arrive at, you know, back, say it's 1975 or 1976, and a whole big busload of devotees arrive at Mayapur. And we all knew that, okay, the first thing you do is you get out of the bus and you roll around in the sand there, you know, cover yourself with the dust of the Dham, and then you go and you shave and you bathe and perhaps fast like that. I don't know if, can't remember if we were doing that back in those days. But imagine that, you know, you're just getting ready to do all those things, but at, you know, at the bus, greeting the bus is Jai Pataka Maharaj, and he tells everybody, okay, everybody, Prabhupada says, go right to the temple room. You know, he's Prabhupada's going to wants to give an arrival address. And then right after that, they're going to serve prasadam in the prasadam pavilion. So is anybody going to say, well, wait, aren't we supposed to, you know, shave our head first and bathe and fast? No, you just, you know. So it's like that. This is, it just supersedes that, those types of things. This is, you know, on the platform of spontaneous love. So also, Maharaj Pratapuja was very impressed by the kirtan, you know, because these devotees were performing kirtan while they were there. You know, they were just, you know, kind of marching in, you know. Oh, when the saints come marching in. No. Oh, okay. Anyway, you know that song. But, so they were coming, and they were performing kirtan. And Maharaj Pratapuja was kind of like, he was impressed by the, you know, by their appearance, by their effulgence, and by the kirtan. And he was inquiring about that. And so then, I can't remember, it was Sarvabhauma Acharya. I think it was Sarvabhauma Acharya took the opportunity to explain to him. He quoted various verses, the famous ones, you know, about the importance of the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And in one of the purports, Prabhupada makes a point about kirtan. And this is a very important point about kirtan. It's the only point that Prabhupada makes. Now, I'll just read this couple sentences here because, you know, okay, we're going to read just a couple, text 95 in the purport. Maybe I'll read the whole purport, or at least a section of it. So, you got it? 95? Okay, yeah, so such are the symptoms of pure devotees when they are chanting. It's referring to the verse that their effulgence is like brilliance of millions of suns. And he says, this is Maharaj Pratapuja speaking, nor have I heard the Lord's names chanted so melodiously. So it goes, yeah, such are the symptoms of pure devotees when they are chanting. All pure devotees are as bright as sunshine, and their bodily luster is very effulgent. In addition, their performance of Sankirtan is unparalleled. There are many professional chanters who can perform congregational chanting with various musical instruments in an artistic and musical way, but their chanting cannot be as attractive as congregational chanting of pure devotees. So, Prabhupada's making the point that the congregational chanting of pure devotees is what's important, and not the artistic and the musical way in which the kirtan is being conducted. And then here's the one and only point Prabhupada makes about kirtan, at least in this place, section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, if a devotee sticks strictly to the principles governing Vaishnava behavior, his bodily luster will naturally be attractive, and his singing and chanting the holy names of the Lord will be effective. People will appreciate such kirtan without hesitation. So I think that's the most important point about kirtan. The most important point about doing kirtan bona fide way or effectively is that we have to have strictly following the principles governing Vaishnava behavior. So those are to engage in devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smananam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyanam, Atmanivedanam, in the association of the devotees, trying to carefully trying to avoid the offenses in chanting and in associating with devotees and following the regulative principles, no illicit sex, no meeting, no intoxication, no gambling. So I think that's the most important point there, really. You know, that we are, as Prabhupada says here, strictly following the principles governing Vaishnava behavior, because that's what will give us, the purity is the force. And if we're doing that, we'll have potency. The chanting will have potency. But if we're not doing those things, then it moves in the direction of artistic and musical. And that's not going to fly. You know, entertaining, undoubtedly it can be entertaining, but as far as like something that's going to help us get more purified and advance in devotional service, it's not going to be as effective as if we are strictly following these principles governing Vaishnava behavior. So that's, I think, the most important point about kirtan here. So anyway, so then what happens after this? So the devotees, so then that Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, Maharaj Pratapuja goes off, and then Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya and Gopinath Acharya decide to follow and see, you know, follow the devotees. So the devotees heading towards the Gambira, Kasi Mishra's house, and simultaneously Lord Chaitanya and his associates are coming out to greet him. So they meet on the road, okay? And then Lord Chaitanya interacts with all the devotees. And so, you know, in this section we could see that, as I mentioned in the beginning, because there's certain things that were very important to Lord Chaitanya. And what's important to Lord Chaitanya has to be important to us. One of the things that was very important to Lord Chaitanya was this very beautiful way of interacting with devotees. You see, so Lord Chaitanya came out there with his associates. He came out there with the garlands and sandalwood pulp and Mahaprasadam. And, you know, and then there's some beautiful verses describing the different things they said to each other when they met each other. You know, the devotees would glorify Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya would in turn glorify the devotees. You know, very sweet like that. You know, Gopinath Acharya and Sarvabhaum Acharya were observing all this. And then they they met on the road, and then Lord Chaitanya brought him back to his room, his house. It was too small, but they all crammed in there anyway, you know. And then, you know, Lord Chaitanya once again was speaking with the devotees and exchanging affectionate words like that. What time is it? No, I'm not, okay, I don't have time to give in the details of that, but that's what happened. And then eventually what happened was the superintendent of the temple showed up with Kashi Mishra, and then they said, okay, well, you know, we got all the accommodations ready, we got everything ready, so, you know, Lord Chaitanya sent them all off, said, okay, go and everybody go and, you know, go to your residences and take a bath and go to, you know, bathe in the sea and look at the chakra on top of the temple. Because Prabhupada mentions in one purport that if you can't actually see the deity in the temple, if you see the chakra on top of the temple, that's actually just as good. So then they were meant to do that and then come back for lunch. So that's what happened. They came back and they had lunch with Lord Chaitanya. You know, Lord Chaitanya was, trying to distribute the prasadam to all the devotees. And then the other devotees told them that, look, you've got to sit down and eat, because if you don't eat, nobody's going to eat. So Lord Chaitanya, because, you know, he was kind of forced by the situation, he said, okay. So he sat down with the sannyasis, Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, so on. Lord Nityananda, and who's the fourth one? There were four sannyasis. I can't remember the fourth person. But so he sat down with them, but just before that, he carefully gave a little bit of Mahaprasadam to Govinda to take to Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, when all the other devotees were, you know, they met on the road and they went back to the Lord Chaitanya where he was staying at the house. Haridas Thakur was so humble, he actually stayed off, you know, on the road there. And at one point, Lord Chaitanya asked, where's Haridas Thakur? Where's Haridas? And the devotees told him, oh, he's over there. He's just on the road. And he said, okay, let him know. I'll catch up with him. He understood, you know. But the devotees of Lord Chaitanya were like that. Murari Gupta, the same thing. You know, he hid outside. Everybody went inside, he was hiding like outside the door there. And then at one point, Lord Chaitanya said, where's Murari Gupta? And they said, oh, he's just outside. He said, well, get him, bring him in, you know. So they went out and brought him in. And then when he came in, you know, Lord Chaitanya was wanting to embrace him, and Murari Gupta was trying to, no, don't touch me. I'm too fallen, I'm too contaminated like that. Murari Gupta is Hanuman, okay, you know. I mean, just to give you an idea that these devotees are so, like, you know, humble. And then they, you know, exchanged affectionate words like that. But Lord Chaitanya made an arrangement. You know, he asked for, like, he knew what Haridas Thakur's program was. He knew he didn't want to go, he wouldn't go inside the temple because he felt he was too fallen like that. So he arranged for a very solitary place. He actually asked it for himself, but it was his idea was it was for Haridas Thakur in a garden. And Lord Chaitanya, after everybody left, he went to see Haridas Thakur and he explained to him, okay, this is, no, he met him, he got him from the road, you know, he took him to his place, said, okay, I want you to stay here. You just stay here, just chant, it's okay. just chant. Don't worry, I'll make all the arrangements, you know, for your prasadam to come every day. And all you have to do is just stay here and peacefully chant. And then they, you know, they spoke a little bit like that. So, yeah, but meantime, as I said, all the devotees, they went, they, you know, took bath, they came back, and they're taking prasadam. And Lord Chaitanya had to sit down because, you know, that nobody would take prasadam if he didn't. So then the other devotees served out some of his associates from Jagannath Puri. The Vaishnava etiquette was, like, superb, you know. All these devotees were, like, taken, you know, they felt, you know, because it wasn't an easy thing. They're traveling on foot from Bengal. I used to know, I can't remember how long the trip takes. 1 month. So 1 month, you know, walking, padyatra, like that. And, you know, they didn't book Motel 6s or anything like that ahead of time. It was, Shivananda Sen was the one he had to, he made all the arrangements and, you know, it's makeshift. You know, you do it as you go. So it was, sometimes it was difficult. You're walking, it's dealing with the elements and you're dealing with who knows what arrangements for food, you know, prasadam and accommodation. So, you know, when they got there, though, they really were taken care of nicely. So anyway, so then, you know, they're feeding the devotees, it describes, up to the neck. You know, they really took good care of them. And then after that, Lord Chaitanya said, okay, now go and take rest, you know, everybody, and come back in the evening. You know, come back in the evening. So they all did that. And when they came back in the evening, then they went to the temple. All together they went to the temple, and they performed like an incredible kirtan. Incredible kirtan. They were, you know, circumambulating the temple. And there was four chanting parties. I think it was four Madangas and eight Parakartels like that. And I can't remember how many chanters in each party like that. And Lord Chaitanya performed the miracle it's described at that time. He actually expanded himself so that he was present in the middle of each of the four chanting parties. And then on top of that, he performed like a double miracle. He made it so that just like when Krishna was having lunch with the cowherd boys, you know, he would be sitting in the middle, and all the cowherd boys thought that Lord Krishna is directly looking at me. You know, they all thought that he's looking right at me. So Lord Chaitanya did that, it's described. You know, he was in the middle of the chanting party, and the effect it had was the experience that all the devotees who were in the kirtan were having, that Lord Chaitanya is reciprocating directly with me. He's looking right at me. So anyway, so the chanting went on, and it was described that it was, you know, prema kirtan, prema sankirtan. It was, you know, congregational chanting on the highest level of ecstatic love for God. This is what they were experiencing. Lord Chaitanya, all the devotees, all the residents of Jagannath Puri who came and, you know, witnessed that kirtan and became involved with it, they were just all overwhelmed with that. And it describes in the chapter there that, towards the end of the chapter, that this didn't just happen on that one occasion. This was the regular program. In other words, this was the regular program of Lord Chaitanya, that for the entire time that the devotees were there, which I guess was a few months, didn't they stay for like the rainy season? I can't remember now how long they stayed for. But for the entire time that they were there, that's what they did every night. Every evening they would go to the temple and they'd have kirtan. I heard Prabhupada say, you know, 3-4 hours and then prasadam, like that. So that was their program every evening. And finally, in summation to this chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, in this way I have explained the Lord's pastime of Sankirtan, and I bless everyone with this benediction. By listening to this description, one will surely become a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. And of course, that's the whole idea, you know, which is, this is, you know, that's why we're reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita in preparation for this Rath Yatra ceremony, so that, you know, hopefully we can become pure servants of Lord Chaitanya. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Okay, yeah, fuck the storm. So many more good things could have been said, but anyway, did the best I could. Fuck the storm.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a nice presentation. Prabhu, you mentioned something. Can you hear me? You mentioned something about like the king, you know, serving the servant and becoming dear to Lord Chaitanya, you know. So I was just kind of wondering, like, what about like people who are like our karmi lives? You know, people who are friends of us before, and they still think of us maybe now as we are becoming devotees or are devotees. Are they getting benefit for that because they're like because we may be dear to them, and we're attempting to be servants?
They're just thinking of you?
Yeah, I mean, thinking, oh, I wonder what that person's doing, or I remember that, you know, I remember how kind he was, or just having, like, some sort of, like loving or, you know, like a nice emotional sentiment.
Well, so I'd answer that. To the degree that you become a pure devotee, to that degree they get some agyata sukriti benefit. Like, you know, say Prabhupada was a completely pure devotee. So maybe some of his former acquaintances, family members, or whatever, if they just thought of Prabhupada in a favorable way, you know, even not really fully understanding who he is, who he was, they get benefit because they're thinking of a pure devotee. You see? So that's there. But, I mean, even better, if you happen to have some acquaintances that you know are kind of still interested in you and keeping in touch or whatever, then try to engage them in some service. But, yeah, you know, just like thinking of Krishna. If somebody thinks of Krishna, even not really knowing who Krishna is, they get benefit. So if somebody's thinking of a pure devotee, they get benefit. Archita wants to say something.
Just as a general principle, Prabhupada said once that if people in general just think of the Hare Krishna movement, that these people have a right to do what they're doing, he said they make advancement. Just by being favorably inclined towards the Hare Krishna movement.
Right.
Prabhupada took it a little further one time. He said, for the Sankirtan, people just see the Sankirtan devotees, they make advancement. So, Storm is a book distributor, so they make advancement, yes.
Right. Yeah, which brings us to the main point, one of the main points I should have made, that's why this Rath Yatra is so important, because this is the mercy. You know, Lord Jagannath's coming out into the public, and the devotees are all coming out. The whole thing is just ultimately to benefit the entire general populace. Because, you know, anybody who, I think there's statements that anybody who even just sees Lord Jagannath on his cart in procession, you know, going down like that, they don't have to, I can't remember the benediction, but it's something pretty good, something pretty awesome. So the whole idea is that this is like a, you know, an occasion to, you know, bestow benedictions and blessings on the general populace of Los Angeles. So, you know. That's there. Okay, thank you much. Grantaraj Srimad Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada.